we want to welcome you to the Awakening Moments podcast. And we are unpacking in a little series right now on the Lord's Prayer. And so I want to just start us off today just by reading the Lord's Prayer. So wherever you are, just take a moment just to take this in, to allow this to be read over you, to allow the words of the Lord's Prayer to just lift your eyes from wherever you're at. And just, I honestly just pray for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit as I read these words over your life and over your story. And then we're gonna slow down and just unpack one line of this. I thought last week, Rhonda, we were gonna be able to unpack two lines, Our Father in Heaven, hallowed be your name, but we only got to Our Father. Mm-hmm. So let's—
because we're being led by the Holy Spirit and we're doing this off the cuff. We're just letting it kind of happen.
Exactly. So this week, I think we should talk about, what does it actually mean, hallowed be your name, to sort of establish that at the very beginning of the prayer. What did Jesus mean by that? How do we do that? How do we walk that out? So let's just pray. So Jesus said these words, pray then like this. Our Father in Heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So that's our prayer today.
That is so beautiful. Well, I love that, hallowed be your name. And in my version, NLT, it's like, may your name be kept holy, is another way of saying, may your name be kept holy. Mm. And I think it's a really interesting thing, because we started with Our Father, the intimacy of the Father being brought into a family, the intimate working of God in our lives. And then we go into like, hallowed be your name, holy, like may your name be kept holy.
Holy, holy.
And I think it's, you know, I think the part of me when I'm reading this is, it's not either or. It's both and. We have intimacy with God, but yet God is not us. He's not common that we bring him to our level. God became one of us through Jesus and the Trinity to walk with us, to redeem us. But God, we are not God, and God is not brought down to our level. So there is this feeling of like, yes, we have an intimate, beautiful honor of being with God as our Father, that we can boldly approach his throne of grace. There is no threshold to his presence to come to him. We can just come and repent and find mercy and his love and grace. Yet he's God.
Right.
So it's both and. There is this holiness.
So you're saying, so there's this establishment of intimacy.
Yes.
So personal intimacy, closeness, family, trust, but then at the same time, and equally so, there's an establishment of his holiness, of his preeminence, of his lordship, that he's not us, that we don't bring him down to our level, but actually he invites us up to be with him in that intimate place. But that's the fear of God, the awe of God comes in his holiness and his preeminence. So both and.
Both and. So I think that's exactly how we walk. Because if you go to the extreme, like, I love the Abba Father, and people feeling like, yeah, like he's like my daddy. Well, if he is your father, and we can go to an extreme where it becomes like he is almost like this.
Like a bit casual.
Casual. But yeah, we can also go to the other extreme where it's so religious that was like, God's going to strike me dead. And like, I have this like fear,
like the reverence punishment is like a block.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas God's like, no, it's both. And this intimate invitation to my holiness and to who I am, because he's perfection. He's God. He's creator. He's ultimate authority. And so I love that. I think this is the beautiful thing. It's both and. And I think this is where God strips us of familiarity, where when we come in, it's not the fear of God in the sense of, I'm afraid God's going to do something to me. It's, God, you're my father, but honestly, I'm coming into the beautiful, your perfection and holy. And I want you to do something new in me. I want you to transform me. I'm not just going to be like, well, you're going to meet me where I'm at. No, bring me to where, I love it. You said, the Lord, bring me to where you are, your kingdom and the way you rule and are sovereign, your truth, your revelation needs to be preeminent in my life, not my world that you come into my world. Because once again, I'm the center. It's idolatry. But when he is God, that's what he's talking about, the worship. The form of worship where we worship him, or do we worship ourselves? And I think when we bring God to our level, it's still about us. It's like, God, I want you to fit in my world. I want you to fit in my truths. I want you to fit in what I believe is the right way of living. I want you to fit in like what I'm comfortable with, versus no, God will make you very uncomfortable. The more the scripture will make you uncomfortable because it's to release the barrier of intimacy. So it's both end. We can't have the truth and the holiness of God and the intimacy of God in his presence without they're both together. They both are hand in hand. We need to recognize the intimacy of God and allow God to be God in the fullness of his holiness in our lives.
Yeah.
So
that's beautiful. That's so beautiful. I think it's so interesting too that Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray, and this was before he went to the cross. Mm. Okay. So he's inviting us into this intimacy with the Father, and we're establishing the holiness of God, the preeminence of God, the lordship of God over our lives. But what's so beautiful and powerful about the part of the story that you and I get to live in is that because we are on the other side of the cross, like Jesus literally took upon himself all of our brokenness, mm-hmm. and all of our sin and all the sin of all humanity before that time, all the sin of all humanity after that time, and all that will come. And he took it upon himself on the cross. And that's why he came to earth, to reestablish relationship with the Father. And so the beautiful thing about this, it brings in this term that I love, this theological term, propitiation, that literally God.
So what is that in your mouth, Lori?
I love it.
Is that like fireworks in your mouth?
I love that
you say
that.
You're like, it makes like feels like fireworks in my mouth.
It's so fun to say propitiation. I don't know why. It's that word and fiduciary. I love these two words. But I love propitiation more because of the meaning of it. It has such depth
so
of meaning.
Profound.
And this is where the piece of recognizing the holiness of God, but also really, truly, theologically, biblically understanding the way that God sees us. Mm. And this is how it allows us to come into that intimacy, is this propitiation that Jesus not only took our sins on his behalf, bore them completely, but actually God accepted Jesus' sacrifice. And literally to his wrath against sin, like the only way God can respond to sin is wrath. Like he has nothing, because he can't be in the presence of sin. But God accepted Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. Jesus went before us. He was our substitute. He took it. He bore it. And then God accepted it, and not only accepted it, but his wrath turned to favor towards us. So now this is why that this establishment of God's hallowedness, his holiness, the holiness of his name, that he is literally over all, above all, preeminent, before, is, and to come. That is why, because of the work of Jesus, and that God now looks at us through Jesus. So he invites us into that holiness. Mm-hmm. And that's like, there is something so solidly anchoring for us about that in the establishment of our relationship with God, that there's no barrier for us. Mm-hmm. Because of Jesus, that God looks through Jesus, sees us as holy, invites us into that holiness, invites us into that intimacy. And that means, like, even though I mess up, and even though I make mistakes, and even though I'm imperfect, and even though I'm being sanctified every day and I'm working out my salvation, that there is and has been established no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that we are invited into this beautiful security in our relationship with God because of Christ. And so I want to say that again and just establish that at the front end as we talk about this, because the reality of walking this out, like actually placing God as Lord and God as holy and God as preeminent in our life, is actually like more challenging than we realize, because it's really easy for us, and I think it's probably just because we're born human and self-focused. We can't help it. Like, we can't help but be self-focused, and so we continually actually want to pull God down into our story, into our circumstance. God, like, take me out of this discomfort. God, take me out of this circumstance. Take me out of this situation. Why am I here? Why have you allowed this? Why are you allowing me to go through this struggle and this tribulation? Why are you, like, we want to bring God down into the muck and the mire and the mess of what we don't like about our life, when what is actually happening is God is actually trying to elevate us up above the circumstance to see, no, he's at work in the midst of the mass of humanity. He always has been. Mm. And so I think this is part of the importance of this establishment right at the beginning of our prayers, and why, even as a model, a way to pray, it's like, no, we come into intimacy and trust and security with our Father, and then we remember, no, God's inviting us into His lordship, into His holiness, His worth, His honor, His glory. He's elevating us up above all the muck and the mire so that we can establish who He is, His character, His name, His power, His glory. And all of that is over our circumstance. That very thing that we're bringing, that we're struggling with, that we're stressed about, that we're anxious about, that is overwhelming us. God's like, come up, be with me. See who I am. See what I can do. And all of that takes great faith. That's not easy. That's not easy to do.
That is so good, Lord. That is beautiful. Theologically, too, to kind of center it, that even that our righteousness as filthy rags, like there is nothing we can do to earn salvation. Like this favor with God, we could never earn it. It's a gift that none of us can boast. But the righteousness of Christ that we are clothed in is what He sees. And that is the salvation garb that He puts on us, that we've been redeemed. And that's it. It's a final word. It's not the cross is not shaky. Like that is not a fickle thing. It is solid and securing to know the assurance of what Jesus has done and where we stand with God. All comes back to God. It all, the story begins, finishes, is all about Him.
It is.
Right?
Okay, so then how, like on a practical level,
right?
Like how do we establish that in our times of prayer, in our relationship with God, when we're walking through the valley of disappointment? Like how do we get there, live there, invite, allow ourselves to even be elevated into that space?
You know, it's so funny when you're talking about that, Laura. I just had a flashback. Quite a few podcasts ago that I talked about, I've always gone to the beach house, and not too long ago, the scenery changed to like a forest. It was like a deep hill, and I could see it was a very deep forest. And I didn't realize we're going into valleys of disappointment. And sometimes it's just, you can't see the forest through the trees. And I love when you're talking about that it could be really hard. It can be really, really hard to have the discipline of being able to walk this out.
Like praise before the breakthrough.
That's exactly it. It's one thing to be standing in a season where you're like, whoo. And you know what? I just want to say, if you are, I love that. Enjoy it. And I love that. I don't think we celebrate enough. And I know we've said that before. I want to just put a little plug. I don't think we celebrate enough the different seasons. We're in these seasons of spring and summer. And it's just, oh, this is amazing. But when you're in a winter season, it can be really, really tough. Or when you're in the midst of something that you can't even see the other side. It's so dense and difficult, no matter what that is. And I think this is why this prayer is so beautifully structured. Because if you look at many models that come, this is the ultimate prayer. Jesus gave us this. Like, this is Jesus saying, this is how you should pray. Mm-hmm. The model of it is praise. Acknowledging God and praise starts. Mm-hmm. So I think this is exactly the discipline, is that our mouths would praise. Now, there is one thing to be authentic, and I don't want to take away from that, because I think even we could speak to that. That wasn't always celebrated or something that we even went to spiritually.
It's true.
Authentic realm of like, what am I actually feeling? What am I actually sensing?
Kind of how we grew up in church. It wasn't really the way you kind of, it was even like prayed. A lack of faith to acknowledge anything that wasn't victory.
Or like struggle. You couldn't struggle.
Not really.
You weren't allowed. You kind of had to struggle, be quiet about it.
Yeah.
And then talk about it when you were victorious, even in your prayer life.
Yeah.
It was like you would just almost work yourself into, oh, I feel God's gonna be mad if I talk about this. So God, thank you that you're like, you wouldn't even let yourself invite the Holy Spirit there. So I think when we say come Holy Spirit, He's everywhere. Come Father. This is like, for those of you listening, that's not saying like we're waiting for God to come. He's with us, but it's actually saying, come into this space. Mm-hmm. I welcome you now. So come. Mm-hmm. And I think what we're saying here is, in the midst of a valley, right here, in the midst of a hardship, a storm, in the midst of good, we are to acknowledge He is holy and He is preeminent. So He deserves adoration. And the first thing we do in this prayer is acknowledge His fathership and then His praise. and his adoration. That's exactly where we go. And I think when you're in the valley, it's a discipline to look at your valley and to say, I'm going to choose to say something thankful, because we can be authentic. This is a space we're talking about, bringing the Holy Spirit into the space, bringing Father into this authentic space of I'm struggling. I don't know what to do here. I feel disappointed. But then we have to move to bring it to authority, because we can't just stay in that victory space of like, God, you're good, you've got this, and not be real and not be authentic.
Yeah.
And but honest. We can't just stay in this realm of authentic, because it's navel. All of a sudden it's all about you again. It's just, it's both. And we go into the authentic place, but we bring it to authority and we bring it to God to say, at the end, you are holy. You are good. Thank you for this disappointment. Thank you for the struggle, because it's showing me I need you. There is, in every circumstance, yeah. a place that yeah. you can lift him higher, but saying you're bigger, you're greater,
right.
you're God. And even today you might say, I don't even know what to be thankful for.
Right.
But God, I'm just going to say, thank you that you're God.
Right.
You're God.
Right.
And I'm going to trust that you're sovereign. That might be your prayer. Yeah. Like, you might have nothing in your circumstance, or it might just be tears that you're able to just put a worship song and just let the worship song soak over you. I don't know what you're facing, the depth of that struggle, the depth of the valley, or perhaps it's just a disappointment that you're needed to turn your framework and say, okay, I'm feeling this way. Okay, enough is that. God, what I'm going to do is focus on the authority of who you are. So I love that this starts with praise, starts with intimacy into adoration and praise of God.
And that's exactly the practical side of how you allow God the space to elevate you above the circumstance. Like, I'm not going to just sit in this and just be like, now, again, I love how you said, no, you got to be honest. And man, like, that's the space where I can be the most honest is yeah. I'll be yeah. like, God, this and this and this, and I can't believe this. And why is this happening? And why does it look like this? And I want out of this, and I hate this situation. And But I do know enough to know I don't want to stay there. Yeah. I don't want yeah. to just camp there, because we can actually just take up residence in our disappointment. We can take up residence in, we can allow just the magnitude of the circumstance to yeah. totally, totally overtake us, because it's so sad and it's so devastating yes. and yes. it's so hard and it's so disappointing that we can be overcome by that. And this is the point of the praise, is that it's meant to actually get us to say, okay, but God, I am going to discipline myself to say, God, thank you that you're with me in this disappointment. Thank you that you're at work in this difficulty, in this circumstance. God, thank you that you are God. You're establishing his lordship. You are Lord over this. You're bigger than this. And it isn't about the immediate rescue out of the discomfort. It actually is about, God, what are you trying to teach me in this discomfort? Mm. Because our tendency will be to be like, take me out of this. Yes. I want this. I want to run away from this.
Oh, for sure.
I don't want to be in this anymore. That's our tendency. And then the disappointment sort of envelops us, because God usually doesn't remove us from the circumstance. No, because he's meeting us in the circumstance because he wants to do something in it. He's at work in it. And so to switch and change our mindset in the midst of that is so, so important. I remember last year sometime, I was going through this season where I just like found that my mind kept saying this same thing over and over and over again about everything, like honestly about everything. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. Just kept saying that over about everything, like cleaning my house, like I joked even on the podcast about taking care of my plants. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to take care of anyone anymore. I don't want to take care of things. I don't want to take care of my children. You're adults. Like, take care of yourself. Like, I don't want to, you know, like yes. every, and so I'd be just looking at whatever was in front of me and I'd be like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I could just like a mantra about everything. And I'm like, okay, like at some point. And so that permeating, like repeated message in my mind was just starting to like, just like take over me about everything, and robbing my joy and robbing like even like vision and dreaming and future. Like, I was just like, what on earth is going on? I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. And I finally, one day I was just going for a walk with the Lord, and I was just talking to the Lord, and I felt like this question come? And it's, and this question is actually rooted in a scripture. One of my favorite scriptures that I hadn't thought about in a long time, but there's a scripture in Corinthians that says something like this, that everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but I'll be not be mastered by anything. And there's another translation that says something like, the second part of it says, everything's permissible, but not everything is helpful. Mm. And I just felt the Lord ask me that question. Is that thinking helpful? And I was like, no, it's actually not helpful at all. Like, it's really, it's not helpful.
Wow.
It felt very true and it felt very authentic and it felt very honest, but it really wasn't helpful. It wasn't helpful for anything. It wasn't making me a better mom. It wasn't making me a better friend. It wasn't making me a better wife. It wasn't making me a better pastor. It wasn't making a better follower of Jesus. Like, it wasn't helpful. This wasn't a helpful mantra. Mm-hmm. So I just remember, like, in that moment being like, okay, I am not going to say that anymore in my mind. Mm-hmm. I am just going to take that thought captive. I'm going to just put it back. So, and again, this idea of captive is not that it's gone, but it's imprisoned. It doesn't, we're taking the power away. We're going to put it in a prison somewhere in our mind where it doesn't have power anymore. It's not like on the forefront, actually predicting outcomes and having power over us. I'm going to take that thought captive. And I'm actually just going to, when that thought wants to come forward, I'm just gonna ask myself one more question. What am I really feeling? What am I actually feeling in this moment? Honestly, it totally changed everything. And I share that story just to say that sometimes we can get totally overcome, even just in our minds, with whatever's going on in our lives, whatever it is. And you may look at it, you may describe to somebody else and they're like, that's not really a big deal, but it doesn't matter. It's not the point. Because if your mind is like forcing you into this place of disappointment, and you just forcing you to live in that place, it doesn't even matter if it's a big deal or a little deal or what. It's regardless of what the circumstance actually is, it's not helpful.
Yes, that's a really good way of saying it.
And so this is where praise comes in. Yeah. This is where praise comes in.
There is such a power in the spoken word. This is such, now, I want to be careful because people have taken it to the extreme that they actually are not honest.
Right, right.
Because they feel like they say something out loud. It's like, you know, I've seen that. That's not healthy. We're not talking about that. But there is something powerful. And I think deep down in your spirit, you know, like when you face something, you know, when you're just in it and it happens and you're getting it out, sometimes you're not even in a mindset to like maneuver. Not every single circumstance right away, you're like, oh, and God, I thank you that you're teaching me this. Sometimes you're just, it happens,
oh,
you're in it. And I'm speaking for experience, right? Like you're in it, you're like breathing through a paper bag. Like,
devastated,
overwhelmed, totally. Not sleeping. You're the fact that you're just even trying to keep it together takes everything in you. However, there comes a time, you know, when it's shifting, when all of a sudden an actual, it's like your spirit is starting to rise up. Okay, I have a voice here. It's time. It's time.
This is not helpful.
This is not helpful. That is so good. It's time for you to move in the opposite spirit. And this is what this helps us to do. Because once again, it moves us to up to a different kingdom. It moves us out of a kingdom. And I love that Jesus in his parting words says, listen, this world you'll have trouble, but take heart. So when you're having trouble, this is the take heart. This is moving into the opposite kingdom. He's overcome the world. Like he's overcome. We're moving into a different kingdom, but that is not helpful. So I think today, some of you might be just struck with something and you're in it. Get prayer people around you. Saturate yourself. Saturate yourself with worship around you. Don't stop going to church. Get into a Bible study. Ball your brains out with friends. Call the helpline. Call a friend for help. Like, get on it. Yeah. Sometimes you need prayer saints around you that just got you. You might, your marriage just might fall apart. You might have just had something happen with a child. You might just feel like I just made a big decision or a big move and it's all falling apart. I don't know. Yep. I lost my job. Yep. I name it. Put a diagnosis. Fill in the blank of what that is today for you. Some of you might just be in that, get the helpline around you, get the hour around you, get the community. But for some of you listening, this is what we're talking about today. You're actually in it. And now it's like, it's become a habitual way of thinking, a habitual way of talking. And you know, you could feel even as we're talking, there's a conviction in your spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, that it's time to move in the opposite spirit because it is no longer helpful for how you're talking. I love that, Laura, how you said that. So now it's time to put on your praise pants. Give your faith a job. Give your faith a job today. And that faith is, I'm going to praise. So the faith has gotten you through, but now it needs a new job.
Yep.
So the job might have been just getting you up the next day and being able to just show up at church. That was the job. Well, today you're recognizing that job, I need a new job.
Yeah.
And that job is, I'm going to open my mouth and I'm going to praise. I'm going to thank God for my circumstance and find a reason to elevate the King and move to His kingdom. So
I love it.
There's a little love preach it. Right there. I know. Getting passionate.
Oh, so good.
Because I'm in it. I'm in it. You know when it ticks over and you're like, oh, I'm starting to become a little victim, like navel gazing here. This is time to kick up the praise. But that's the power of the spoken word. It breaks something in the spirit over you, your life, your mindset.
Yeah. Because, and the reason that Jesus gave us this, the reason he taught us this is because there is power in the name of God.
In
the names of God, the name of Jesus, there is power in the name.
Yes.
Hallowed be your name. There's actually power in our name. There's power in his name. He's the name above all names.
Yes.
So the fact that word,
go for it.
Name, it's because there's power in that name. So as we even just declare who he is, there's actual supernatural spiritual power in that. It's not just a natural thing. It's not just we're just saying something at random. No, we're actually declaring something over in the spiritual realm, like in the heavenlies. We're declaring something and we're believing something, and it is elevating us above our circumstance. And so, like, you cannot underestimate that power. Do not underestimate that power. And if you don't even know what to say, then just say the name of Jesus. You can literally just repeat the name of Jesus, and you can think about what you're going through. And you just say, Jesus, 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 just repeat it over and over again. If that's all you have, there is power in the name that is above every name. And so you can rest in that.
And I love that, Laura, even as we're coming to a close here, if you've never researched the names of God, oh my goodness. I mean, this is so beautiful. At this day and age, you can pick up your phone, names of God. Find the names of God, and perhaps find right now a name of God. Like, I'm like, Jehovah Nissi is his banner. That's victory. He's our banner. And I say that so often, like, Jehovah Nissi, when I'm feeling overwhelmed, you're my banner. You're my covering. You're the Lordship. You're it. I'm waving the white flag. Like, you're it. Jehovah Nissi, the banner, your victory, you're over us. And so find the name, Jehovah Rapha, maybe it's healing, Jehovah Jireh, provider.
Which one is speaking to you right
now? And start to call on that name of God. And like I said, Lori, the name Jesus above every name is the ultimate name. But just do a little bit of research today after this podcast, whatever you're facing. Go a little dive a little bit deeper into the word, find a scripture, but research the name of God and just begin to declare that over your circumstance. So I love it. Thank you for joining us today. And we speak the name of Jesus over you and over your circumstance. Jesus.